Last week, Pastor Jared began this new series called What Grows Here. And the thing that's important to understand about this is we have to catch what he's trying to teach us. It's not only, it is very much what grows here, what grows inside of you. It's hugely important what grows here, but also what grows here. When we come together as Zao Church, what kind of people are we becoming? What kind of church are we building? Like, does this matter? Or can we just go to another building down the street? I'm going to tell you that there are times that I hear things from the Lord very clearly. Whenever I first came to this church, one of some of the first meetings that I sat in, and I sat here for a long time, really quiet, not wanting anybody to know who I was or, you know, where we'd been. But I'm telling you, I heard the Lord say, this is one of the most vital churches you've ever sat in. And he grabbed my attention. I listened to that. So watching, seeing what he's doing is important. But listen, we become what we are individually. Like you know the old saying about the chain. A chain is only strong as what? Like, we got to catch that as a church. Because if I come in, it's one thing we joke and play or whatever, but if I come in anticipating today to be the weakest link on the batting lineup, then I'm doing a disjustice to the Father. Like, I'm supposed to show up as though I've met with God and I have something to offer you. Just like you're supposed to show up as though you've met with God and you got something for me and the person next to you, the people around. It's the body feeding the body. What kind of church are we becoming? It's a big deal. This whole message, this whole thing on what grows here is a big deal. And then another thing he said was a healthy root produces healthy fruit. You can't get away from this. The truth of the matter is, whatever takes root inside of you eventually grows through you. I'm not going to get into this, but there's a very important thing. In fact, if this resonates with what I'm about to say resonates with you, I cannot encourage you enough. You make an appointment with Pastor Monica as soon as you can. You sit down with her, because there's a thing that we can experience called an inner vow. And that's where we make a vow inside that we think sounds like a good thing, but it really, what it's rooted in, is something that's not good, and it grows into something terrible. Let me give you an example. Growing up, my dad was a severe alcoholic. He tore stuff up. He messed stuff up. It was a mess. So growing up, I learned, I didn't hate him, and I knew he didn't hate me. I knew he loved me, but I did not like the things about what he did. And so growing up, I remember saying to myself early on, and then passing on to Cinda, that I'll never be like my dad. And I remember saying, can't tell you how many times, my kids will never experience what I experienced. And I didn't realize, I thought that sounded right. Doesn't that sound right? I don't want my kids to go through what I went through. My kids aren't going to have a dad like that. Easy, that's dangerous in here now. I don't want my kids to go through what I went through. I don't want any of that stuff to happen. So it sounds right, but the problem with it was what I did was I hated, not who my dad was, but I hated what he was. So that became a seed of hatred that grew in me, and eventually in life it was something that had to be worked out. And I had to sit down with some people like Pastor Monica, like Pastor Dustin, and be walked through some really serious times, and inner vow is a big deal. Listen, ultimately what I'm saying to you is, what is planted in you is eventually going to grow through you. We need to recognize this, and we need to begin to evaluate what is it that is planted in us, which is the point of this whole series. The fruit of the Spirit, what grows here? This comes from Galatians 5, and this is the whole idea that in Galatians 5 it tells us love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of these things, if you know Jesus Christ, are already in you. These are not things for you to get to. Man, I could really use some patience. I hope I can get to patience today. I hope I can learn something, get to that. Man, I could use some joy. I hope I can get to that. These are not things for you to get through. Listen to me, church. This is not behavior modification like Pastor Jared taught us. This is spiritual formation. This is what's already inside of you. I want you to catch this. If you don't catch anything else, get this. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior today, you can't not have this. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, they're already all in you. They're already all in you. You may not be experiencing them, but if you're not, it's not because they're not there. They are there. The reason you're not experiencing them is because that's not what you're living from. And so we have to figure this out and learn how to make a shift. Everything that we manufacture in and of us that isn't born of the Holy Spirit, everything that we manufacture that is not born of the Holy Spirit is fake fruit. So I got this fancy basket. Let me tell you a little about this basket. One of the greatest roles I ever became in my life is champ. I'm a grandpa, and my grandkids call me champ because I get to pick the name. If you're a grandpa or a grandma and you didn't pick a cool name, that's on you. Because those babies are going to grow up and call you whatever you want. Mine call me champ. We're Champ and Sweet Pea, and we like it. So when Mabby came along, he's little bitty, and I'm walking through HEB one day, and I see this basket. Like, Mabby's got electric cars, and he's got, the radio or the remote control car he can ride. He got all the much better stuff, but guess what his favorite thing is? I'm walking through HEB, and I'm like, I'm bringing that basket of fruit and groceries home to my baby. I brought it home. You know what all the adults at my house that were in my house did? They laughed at me. They're like, what is that nerdy stuff? Come on, look at it. Well, guess what the favorite toy is? The fake fruit. I mean, it's so funny because Mavi's been playing with this stuff for a long time, and the fake fruit basket and the fake hot dog basket, it just shows up. Man, he just loves it. But fake fruit. You know the problem with this? It's not real. Listen, it has no nutrients. There's nothing in this that can do anything for you. Why am I saying that? Because, man, I want to tell you that everything that you manufacture in and of yourself, even if you think it's good, look, if it's not of the Holy Spirit, everything that we manufacture is fake fruit. If it does not have life, it's fake fruit. And one of the problems with this is, and I hate to hurt anybody's feelings, but I want to be real with you. One of the problems with fake fruit is there's a lot of marriages in here today that you've been feeding your spouse fake fruit for a lot of years, and you're wondering why you can't get to a better place. Because there's no nutrients coming out of what you provide for them. It's fake fruit. You keep feeding them, and they're not getting any better, and things aren't getting any better, and things stay broken. That's because what you're feeding them isn't coming from the Spirit. It's coming from you, and it will never satisfy. It doesn't have any nutrients to it. So how do we do that? How do we get things inside of us that are full of life that we can have to offer, not only to our spouse, but to each other? You got to recognize that when you come together like this as a church, the church work, the work of God that's supposed to happen, is what's supposed to be going on between each other, not what's supposed to be going on just from here to there. It's what's supposed to be going on between each other, knowing each other, caring about each other, loving each other. That's the way the church is supposed to work. So how do we get to the spot that we have life to offer to our church, or we have life to offer to our spouse, or life to offer to our family? Well, we get into Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and I want to show you, start out in verse 16. It says here, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." You can't walk by the Spirit and walk by the flesh at the same time. You will either walk by one or the other. If you walk by the Spirit, then you stop gratifying the desires of the flesh. Hey, the flip of that is true. But listen to me, because I want to remove confusion. If you walk by the flesh, you are not going to experience or gratify the things that the Spirit has to offer you. You've got a choice, real fruit or fake fruit. But if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, what I am not saying to you is, maybe you're not saved. You are saved, maybe you're not saved. Well, the fruit in my life doesn't necessarily, that you can be saved and your fruit not necessarily look right. But it's because you're still walking in the ways of the flesh. And what God wants to do is not leave you there. He wants to get you out of that. This isn't a message to make you question your salvation. In fact, I want to say, if you've accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, stop questioning your salvation. Begin to trust Him. Know who He is. Know what He did in you is complete. Know that He wasn't lying when He said, when you accept me, I will never leave you or forsake you. It doesn't matter what you do. You can't get out of it. He's got you. But what this does mean is that He wants us, there's a passage in the Scriptures that tells us to grow into our salvation so that we begin to grow up in who He's called us to be. Why? Because the Bible's very clear in what it tells us it wants us to do. It wants us to walk through life and be changed from glory to glory to glory. Why? In what? In the ever-increasing image of Christ. We're supposed to look like Jesus more and more and more as we live this life. And the way we do that is we begin to learn what it means to walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict within each other, so that you are not to do what you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under this law. Listen to me, church. Discipline will not fix this. So what do? Listen closely. It's not check enough right boxes, don't check enough wrong boxes. That's religion. It will not work. Religious discipline will not get you there. The only thing that will get you there is intimacy with the Father, learning what it means to walk in the Spirit, to walk with Him. I promise you, because of the intimacy between Cindy and I, poor girl, she was stuck with me all day yesterday. We hung out all day yesterday. It was the time of my life, and she was pulling her hair out. Because we were together all day, and I think I held her hand for about 13 hours yesterday, because I just grabbed it. Like, I'll walk out of church today with you. I'll walk through the parking lot to your car with you. But what I'm probably not going to do is grab your hand. Why is that? Because when I walk with you, there's intimacy lacking. But when I walk with her, it's natural to me. I just want to touch her because of intimacy. What am I saying? I'm saying when I walk with that I'm intimate with, it looks differently than when I walk with that I'm not intimate with. This is not a message about learning how to do the right things, don't do the wrong thing. This is a message about learning how to sit with Jesus, because He completely loves you. He completely gave everything for you. He will completely never leave you. He will completely never forsake you. He will completely never let you down. The worst of the worst of the worst of the worst that you've ever been through, He's been right there with you. You're never going to leave. He's that good. So learning to walk in the Spirit is what releases us from all of this. Discipline doesn't fix it. But we have to understand that the kingdom of God, the things of God, are not things for us to try to get to. The fruit of the Spirit is not for you, is not something for you to get to. Man, I really need joy. I hope I can learn how to get to it. Man, I really need patience. I wish I could get to it. I really need kindness. I really need goodness, gentleness, long-suffering. I hope I can get to it and learn how. You got to stop trying to get to it. You got to let it get through you, because it's already in you. It's inside of you. It's something that you possess right now. I'm telling you, I don't care how bad the addiction is. you have the ability to be free from it right now inside of you. Inside of you. It's there. I don't care how fierce and how mean and how awful that anger that you feel like you can't get away from is, you have the ability to get through it, to get past it right now. And look, not only do you need it, but the people around you need it. The people around you need for you to learn what it means to walk in freedom. We got to catch this. His works go through us, not something to us or something for us to get to. We have to learn how to live from Him. And we do this not by religious disciplines. Those are important and those come at some point. But we do that by intimacy, by learning how to sit with Him. We got to flip the script and understand that even though this is a painful thing for us to hear because we live in Texas, but the truth of the matter is Jesus is not a cowboy. Cowboys get behind cattle and they push them. They push them. They scream at them. They whip them. They yell at them. They bah, bah, all this. Bah, they push them. And that's what religion makes you think Jesus does. And it's bogus. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus is not a cowboy. He's a shepherd. And a shepherd doesn't get behind his sheep and push them. He gets in front of them and leads them. He gets in front of you. I want you to catch this. He gets in front of you in that worst of worst places that you go to. He gets in front of you and he says, I see that. I'm not mad. Come on. Hey, I got better for you. I see what's got you in the grips. You feel like you're in the grips of this horrific thing. It doesn't have you. Trust me. Come on. Just follow me. He's not mad at you going, what are you doing? Get out of that. Don't touch that. Don't be. He's not doing that. He's going, hey, I got better for you. Come on. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Because He's a good shepherd. He loves us. And living with Him requires us to learn intimacy. Intimacy. Because the flip of that is what's so cool. Check this out. Jesus is saying to you, how about you into me see? I want you to see into the depths of me. I want you to learn to walk with me. If you can get a picture of what my heart looks like for you, you'll never want to leave it. That's what Jesus is saying to you. Go on, verse 19. Verse 19 says this, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions. You know what we'll fight about today? Everything. Did you watch those people in New York that were beating up those Spurs fans because the Spurs won? We'll beat somebody up because they wear a different jersey than us. I know there's a bunch of broken people in the room that don't love the Cowboys, but that doesn't make me hate you. A jersey? Are you kidding me? Tech wears the worst jersey in the world, but I love him with all I got. I hug him even when he got that ugly green on. Love, man. But we'll fight over everything. People, it's horrific what's going on in our world. Fits of rage, discord, jealousy, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Orgies. We don't see that stuff, really. We all watch The Bachelor. We love The Bachelor. Seriously, think about this. Fantasy suite to fantasy suite. To fantasy suite, we're back in the background cheering for which one works out best. Listen, it may not be cool. Everything about that stinks. Intimacy on that level is meant for a man in the privacy of his home with his wife and her for him. It's sacred. It's sacred. We treat it like it's a game. All of these things, it goes on to say, I warn you as I did before that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But I want you to understand this, church. This started out with this saying, the acts of the flesh. When we are participating in these things, we are not being authentic. We are not being real. We're being fake. This is what we look like when we participate in these things. The acts of the flesh. You have to, in order to engage in these things, in order to do this stuff, you have to be fake. You have to become an actor. Why do I know that? Because I know what's inside you. Love and joy and peace and patience. That's who you are. And whenever you can act in these other ways, you have to pretend to be something that you're not. That's what it means to know the Lord. So the acts of the flesh are this. It's fake fruit. But look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is this: love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Look, that doesn't mean you have to be a nerd. Those things are awesome. But I'm watching UFC tonight at my house. I love it. I can't wait to watch Bo Nickel knock that guy out. He's fighting. I know Bo Nickel wrestled with my son. I can't wait to watch him. He's friends with Donald Trump. I'm going to watch him KO that guy. I love it. You don't have to stop liking cool things. I'm still full of love. But I'm going to enjoy watching some people bleed tonight. I may be a little twisted. The fruit of the Spirit. These things, against such things as this, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ. Listen, this is why I'm telling you, I'm not wrong. Those who belong to Christ have crucified. This is past tense. But wait a second, I got some sin coming up tomorrow. Still, it's crucified. See, people read this passage of Scripture, especially that last verse, verse 21, where it says that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. They read the Scripture, Christians read the Scripture, and they start going, yeah, but I got some of this stuff in my life. Does this mean I'm not going to go to heaven? Does this mean? No, this says those who live like this, that's not who you are. Even if you're still participating in it, that's not who you are. You may still be acting like that, but that's not who you are. You were made new when you accepted Jesus Christ. And you need to recognize this. You need to learn how to sit with Him, learn how to see how beautiful His love is, how great His love is, how good and amazing His love is. Sit in it long enough, and as you do, it begins to peel these other things off of you like a banana, only it takes a real banana, not a fake one. We got to learn how to put the fake fruit down and let the Lord just begin to peel these things off of us. All of these things, against these things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That's what this passage is telling us about. What do? We walk with the Spirit. Listen to me, church. My next door neighbor has peach trees in her yard. And there's two things about a peach tree. One's really good, one's really bad. They make really good fruit, but they make a really big mess. They drop peaches everywhere. But you know what they don't ever do? They don't ever drop apples. Craziest thing in the world, but that peach tree next door to me never grows apples. And to think that it would be as crazy as a believer to think that anything is going to come out of them other than love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. See, you don't have to try to convince yourself for these things to grow. They're there. You just have to be fake in order to not experience them. And the longer you sit with Jesus, the more you're going to understand this. He's got you. He's inside of you, working these things out. You don't have to produce love. You don't have to produce patience. You don't have to produce kindness. They're already in there. You just have to learn how to live from them. Stop trying to get to them because they're there. The reason that we don't experience these things is not because we're not saved, but listen to me. The reason we don't experience the fruit of the Spirit is because we don't have intimacy with God. And why do we not have intimacy with God? Only one reason. We don't have intimacy with God because we're being intimate with the world. When we give our intimacy to something else, then it pulls us away from what we experience. Like, Cinda probably has a very different story to tell than yesterday. About yesterday than I do. No, she doesn't. She even enjoyed it, which is crazy to me. I can't get over it. She still likes it. 33 years. And she still likes hanging out with me. Blows my mind. I look at her and I'm like, not her. Shoot, that's my girl. The reason it doesn't get old Intimacy. You'll never have to convince me to hold her hand, ever. I'm probably not going to hold yours. But you're not going to have to convince me to hold hers. We just have to learn when we're holding hands in the place, the deepest places of our heart, what we're holding hands with. We have to learn how to embrace the Lord and the things that He has for us. This is why we desperately, desperately need to understand this passage from Luke chapter 9. It says this, Luke 9, 23. He said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." You know why you need a cross, church? Because you enjoy intimacy with the world. And the Lord's not mad at you about it. But that's the stuff He wants us to pin on the cross. He wants us to give those things up that remove us from our right places of destiny. If my son or my daughter, my grandbaby comes in here, and I see one of you walking up to him, and I know that you're about to hand him something that's poison, I'm going to get to him first. Make sure he doesn't grab what you try to give him. Then I'm probably going to knock you out. And if I can't, I'm going to get Pastor D to come do it for me. Why would I sit back and watch somebody hand my baby poison? The reason I wouldn't let that happen is because of the level of intimacy I have with him. Like, I want him to know to the depths of his being, baby boy, no matter what happens, champ's always going to be there. I got you. I'm not going to let you fall. I'm not going to let anybody hurt you. I'm going to be there for you. And I want to be there to remove fruit. Why? Because intimacy. This is what the Lord wants you to understand about you. Hey, baby boy, baby girl, you're taking this stuff in and it's poisoning you from the inside. And it's robbing you of being what I'm calling you to be. If you'll learn how to let this stuff go and trust me, I got a life for you. Let me tell you what the Bible says. I got a life for you that your eyes have never seen, that your mind has never conceived the things that I want to do with you and for you and through you. But we got to learn how to get to that place and fall in love with Him. Well, so that's the beginning of my message. I'm preaching about joy today. I'm almost done. Don't be nervous. But I do want you to understand the difference between happiness and joy. You got to figure this out because this is one of the things that trips us up. We think happiness and joy are the same thing. They're not. Look at the difference. Happiness is based on circumstances. Joy is based on Christ and Christ alone. Happiness comes and goes. Joy remains. Happiness is external. Joy is internal. Happiness is up to you. Joy grows in you. Happiness depends on what you have. Joy depends on who you know. Happiness can be taken away. Joy cannot be stolen. Happiness is an emotion based on what is happening around you. Joy, listen to this. Joy is the deep confidence that God is good and in control regardless of what's happening around you. There's a couple in our church that are probably watching this message right now. I want y'all to know I'm thinking about you. They were going to be here this week. They couldn't be here because they are in MD Anderson because his cancer's really bad. And they're going through a lot. Nobody wants to go through that. That's horrific. But you know what's still in place? I'm telling you about them, but I'm speaking to them. You know what's still in place is your joy. Amen. Can't be removed. Joy, it's based on who God is. It's not based on what's happening around us. Happiness is good. You get the promotion, you should be happy. That's awesome. Your team wins, that's good. You should be happy, unless you're tech. The doctor gives you a good report, that's good. It's good to be happy about that. The bills are paid, that's good. That's an awesome thing. It is okay for things to make us happy. But what does joy look like? Joy looks like Paul in prison singing. Everything removed from him. Joy looks like my friends in the hospital. Things don't look good, but joy firmly be intact. Joy looks like this, church. Don't miss this. Joy looks like Jesus enduring the cross. The scripture says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Hebrews 12 is where that comes from. It says this, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. The way we do this, church, the way we come out of intimacy with the world is we learn to fall in love with the Lord. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. As I read this passage, I think about that. Like, what does it mean to scorn its shame? Scorning, to scorn something means the act of feeling or showing contempt, disdain, or derision towards something or someone. It combines, listen to this, intense disgust with a sense of superiority. That's what Jesus had. Jesus did not enjoy. He wasn't excited about the cross. It's pretty clear when we read about what happened to him in the garden. He sweat drops of blood. He wasn't excited about the cross. He scorned its shame. He knew that that cross was mine and not his. But he didn't push away from it. He embraced it for the joy set before him. It said that that passage says that he embraced it because of the joy that was set before him. He scorned the shame, but he didn't push away. He embraced it. Why? Joy caused that. Listen to me. Joy is the thing that gives you handles to hold on to something when life gets tough. It's the joy that says when the doctor report comes in and it's terrible and you got nothing to hold on to, yes, you do. You grab onto joy and you say, no matter what, Jesus, you got me. You're never going to leave me. You're never going to forsake me. I've got this. When the marriage is falling apart and you don't know what to do, you grab the handles of joy and you say, Father, I know you've got better for me than this. Whenever you go through experiences, you read things like Pastor Monica was saying, man, Psalms is full of handles for you to hold on to, promises for you to grab. The joy is inside of you. Grab those handles so that no matter what life throws at you, no matter how difficult it is, it cannot rock you. I'm going to say that again. No matter what you're going through, no matter how difficult it is, it cannot rock you because you've got handles inside. You've got joy completely and full inside of you. That's what the disciples used. That's what Jesus used. That's what Paul used. Joy. So, I'm almost done. I got 2 minutes and I'll make it. 3 points about joy. Point one, joy is rooted in a person, not a circumstance. John 15, in fact, I'm going to skip down to verse 4 in John 15, but verse 4 it says this, Jesus said, remain in me and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, because if you try to bear it by yourself, guess what you bear? Well, not hot dogs, but fake fruit. This is what you can bear by yourself. But he said, if you remain in me, and his promise is, I'll remain in you no matter what. If you do that, you will bear much fruit. If you remain in the vine, you'll bear fruit. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. This is the promise from John. This is the promise from John chapter 15 that we get to bear fruit. And it ends with this, verse 11. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Listen to me. If you're not experiencing completeness of joy, it's not because it's not in you. It's just a little lack of intimacy with the Father. You just hadn't quite figured out how much he loves you. You just hadn't quite figured out how good he really is, how much he's really done for you, how much he really cares about you. I'm talking to the meanest, brokenest, toughest guy in the room. You just haven't figured out how good he is yet. Happiness happens because of what's happening to you. Joy happens because of who's with you. Joy is rooted in a person, not a circumstance. Point two. Joy grows out of the deepest and most difficult soil. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4 says this, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything." You know why we're not mature and complete and why we're not lacking anything? Why we do that? Because when perseverance shows up, when hard times show up, we want to figure out how to bail. I watch all Pastor D's crazy videos working out, and I'm thinking, man, I'm glad I'm not next to him. Well, guess what the consequences of that are? You get to be strong like him or strong like me. Consequences for every decision we make. This says you want to be mature, you want to be complete, you want to know what it's like to not lack anything, then learn how to consider it pure joy when you go through stuff. Because this stuff isn't going to break you. I'm not going to let it break you, the Father says. But he said, I will let it shape you. I will let it mold you. He promised this in Romans 8. Everything that happens to you, no matter what it is, I'll turn it out for your good if you'll trust me. If you'll trust me, I don't care how bad it looks. I know it's horrible. I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. I know you want to quit. I know you want to pick up the cheeseburger spiritually and get out of the gym. But stay the course. It's worth it. It's worth it. Nobody enjoys suffering. Nobody does. But suffering develops roots. And a tree with shallow roots falls when the storm comes. But a tree with deep roots, what do you want to be? Not only can I answer that question about what do I want to be, but what do I want to be for Cinda? I don't want to fall over at the first set of problems. When Weston or Cinda or Maverick, when they need something, I don't want to be like, oh, can't count on Champ. I fell over. It was too big of a deal. It was too scary. It was too hard. I want to be standing strong, like looking it in the face going, not here. It's like Pastor Monica was saying, not here. There's a demarcation line around this family. You will not come near this. I want to have some strength in my character, some strength in my spirit. I want to be able to stand up over my kids and pray prayers that are going to make the difference. Like we pray Psalms 91 and count on it being real in my house. We pray that Psalms 91, the Urquharts will abide. The Urquharts will dwell. The Urquharts will rest under the shadow of the Most High. We're going to be here. Why? Because not if, when perilous pestilence comes, when the flaming arrows come, when all of the things that stalk in darkness or at the noonday, it will not affect you. It will not affect you because of the prayers that I pray. And it's not because of my strength, but it's what he gives us. Knowing God is good no matter what we face, the deepest roots grow in the most difficult soil. Point three, the root of joy is the gospel. The root of joy is the gospel. The root of joy isn't family. It's a hard thing for me to understand because mine sure does bring me a lot of joy, but that's not the root of my joy. The root of joy isn't family. The root of joy, church, listen to me, isn't success. Some of you have experienced a great level of success. Awesome. But that's not the root of joy. The root of joy is salvation. Luke chapter 10 says this. The 72 returned to Jesus and they said, Lord, check this out. How cool is this? Even the demons submit to us. We cast them jokers out. They were plaguing these people. We walked in, get out. And they left. The demons submit to us. And I just pictured Jesus going, wow. Look what he said. Cool. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I've given you authority to trample over the snakes and the scorpions, to overcome all of the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's what we get to rejoice about. The root of joy is the gospel. What I get to be joyous about is I got a great family. It's amazing. But that can't be the root of my joy. The root of my joy, church, very really is this. There's a big book in heaven. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And when you open that book up to the ewes, way back at the back, somewhere in there, there's going to be a place that says Mark Urquhart. My joy is firmly rooted in the fact that I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. If today, I don't want it to be, but if today's my last joy, my last day, you don't have to be sad. I'm going to be with Jesus. That's what the root of joy is all about. And I hope and pray that you know that. But here's what I want to do. I want to pray for us. And I want to pray that if there's anybody in this room that doesn't know that, that doesn't have that root, that place of protection, I want to pray that you would know, that you would know when you leave this place, you can say, I know I'm going to heaven. And here's how that happens. Jesus Christ went to the cross and he paid it all. He paid it all. He paid for every sin you'll ever commit, past, today, tomorrow. He paid for it all. And when you accept what he did for you, you invite him into your heart to be your Savior, the Bible says he comes in and he'll never leave you, ever. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that if there's anybody in this room that has never accepted you, that right now they would say, Jesus, I give you my heart. I open up my heart to you, Lord. I give you my heart. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I ask you to come and live in my heart and be my Savior. Father, take me to heaven when I die. Come and do that in me. In Jesus' name. And then everybody else, I pray, Father, that you would let every one of us learn that the fruit of the Spirit is not something for us to get to. But as we sit with you and we learn who you are, we can begin to understand it's something for you to get through us to the world around us. We love you. We bless you. Meet with us now in Jesus' name.